talk to you about worship. Worship is the condition of your heart. It is not, you know, we talk about the worship time, you know, being the time when the worship team goes up there and that becomes the worship time. But that's not the worship time. It's a slice of the worship time. Because worship is something that should have started this morning when you got out of bed. Your first thoughts need to be the thoughts about God. Sometimes we need to be encouraged. You know, I'll tell you, recently Colleen and I were having a discussion, and one of us, I won't tell you which one, kept changing the subject. Here's the problem. One of us wanted to worship, and the other one was distracted by the things of the world. I have a lot to do. I get distracted easily. Do you ever do that for your spouse? Just refuse to enter into the depths and the dungeons. And just keep bringing the conversation up a little higher where it's supposed to be. A conversation where if Jesus Christ himself were sitting in the room, he would engage and participate in it. Because you see, that's who we are. Christian means little Christ. That's who we are. Little Christ. The reflection, the image of Jesus on earth. We are the light into a dark world. It is up to us to make a change in our community, in our families. We do that first by making a change within ourselves. So we come to church. We're like thinking, oh, as soon as worship time starts, you know, then I'll be waving my hands and I'll be rocking. I'll be... Man, you so got to get over yourself. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. Child of God. You think, well, this music doesn't move me. That's because your feet are stuck in the cement. Shake loose. Step into it. You say, well, the overhead projector wasn't keeping up with the words, and that really threw me off. Threw you off in your relationship to God? How shallow a relationship that could be thrown off by that?
Amen.
So it'd be like if I told my wife, what? These peas are, you cooked these peas too long. They're soggy. I don't like anything you cook, ever. To which I have the feeling that my wife would take that bowl of peas and probably dump it in my lap. Or on my head, yeah. She'd ask me, how do you like it that way? See, when we enter into worship, we don't need music. We don't need song. We need a heart that is fully focused on the God who created all things, the reality that sin entered the world and separated us from God. And if it were not for the cross of Jesus Christ, we would be lost and eternally damned, and so would every one of our loved ones. Everybody that's preceded us in death, all of them would be lost. All of them would be separated from God. All of them would be to be thrown into the abyss with Satan. But you see, God so loved the world that he sent his son. You can worship that. Every moment of every day, don't fall in to this deception that an atmosphere has to be created for you to worship. Fall in love with the cross of Jesus Christ. Let your life be transformed by love. When we do that, we will enter into a relationship that's filled with thanksgiving and forgiveness. A relationship that is so in tune with the Creator that we fall right in line with the cross. And we fall in line with the Creator who loves us and the cross where we find forgiveness. Then we'll enter into the empty tomb where we find grace unconditional. And then life everlasting. Don't be swayed. Don't be pulled. Our relationship with God starts and ends right here. Father, I just want to come to you this morning just humbled by your love for us, and particularly, Father, I think of me. Not that I'm selfish, but Lord, it is my relationship with you that has to be right. Father, this church is, and I, are getting ready to go through a lot of change. But Lord, we know that there is something that does not change, and that is your love for us. So no matter what the conditions are, that love is consistent and it is proof. Oh, Lord, we love you. We love you for sending Jesus. We love you for creating us. We love you for the cross where we find our forgiveness, and to the empty tomb where we find life everlasting. And Lord, that is more than we deserve. Way more than we deserve. We don't deserve any of it. But yet your love brings it to us. And so, Father, we enter into the bath of your love. And we take it for all you intended it to be. We will not hate or shame ourselves or our brethren. Lord, we will enter into your Spirit that delivers us from evil. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sue, you have
minutes. 4, 6, 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds.
Amen. Love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord. Let me pause there for a moment. Some wandered, verse 4, some wandered in desert places, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Troy mentioned that Fritz had a tumor removed. I'll give just a little bit of background on that. Waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Amen. Praise be. I came across this anonymous story. It says, the day before Christmas, someone's telling this story, and I don't know who they are. The day before Christmas became a Thanksgiving day for my family. The station wagon was packed with kids and travel stuff for the 400-mile trip to Grandma's. As was our custom before leaving, we asked God to protect us on the road. He did. In an unusual way, as we were cruising down I-75 in Ohio, we ran over some debris in the road. It made a lot of noise, but it did no damage, or so we thought. With every passing mile, we figured that the crisis had passed. When we pulled off the expressway for gas a few miles later, we were in for a deflating surprise. I felt a sickening, sloppy feeling as in the front of the car, both tires had gone flat. We weren't happy about having to replace the tires, but we were thankful for God's care. Thankful that we didn't have an accident. Thankful that the tires stayed inflated until we got off the expressway. Thankful for the tow truck sitting at the gas station. Thankful that a repair shop was open. We were thankful for God's answer to our prayer. If you're following along in your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to ask Jerry, I want to ask you a question. How's your health?
Good.
You doing good?
Yeah. It was just a, I don't know, what it was, a scar on the top of my head.
Okay, a scar.
I'm going, my daily, I'm looking at it going, oh, but it's moving to the bad way.
Here's my friend Jerry. A tough situation, Lord. He's had some health issues. He's got some really energetic girls that he's trying to raise. Lord, he needs some help. He needs some healing. He needs some support in his life. Lord, help him out. If there's something, Lord, that I can do, please show me. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer is open. Moving on. Moving on to the next problem, the next destiny. Moving on. Are you good with that? Are you there with that? See, that's what Christians do. A lot of people think that Christians read the Bible and then they say, well, thus saith the Lord. I tell you, my life transformed at one moment. When I took the Bible and I opened it up and I looked in it and I read, thus saith the Lord, to me and no one else. My life changed and transformed forever. That's when I quit reading the scripture so I could preach and started reading the scripture so that I would change. And then preaching came pretty natural. And so I want to encourage you, let the Word of God change you. If you're not reading it, just start. So I don't have time. Hogwash. I want to tell you something. Colleen and I have stayed up typically to 11 o'clock every night the entire time that the 18 years that we've been here. We pretty much stayed up to 11 o'clock. It's because I have a lot of evening meetings. A lot of times I don't get home until 9, 10 o'clock. So it's, you know, a little quiet time, a little she and I time. Then I would sleep till 7. So that's 8 hours of sleep. But we got these dachshunds. And the one started getting old. You know what happens to old things? They can't sleep 8 hours without going to the bathroom. So this dachshund that we've got now starts barking somewhere between 5 and 6. Every morning. And one of us has to get up and take him out. More often than not, the one wearing the earplugs to protect herself from my gentle cooing as I sleep. doesn't hear the dog barking, so I end up and take the dog out. Miracle of miracles, I've been functioning on 6.5, 7 hours of sleep now for about a year. I'm so quiet in the house in the morning. What a lovely time to pray. A lovely time to read your Bible. It's amazing how much you can get done in just a few minutes. I challenge you to read your scriptures. Find the time, make the time. It will transform your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit.
Amen.
Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives are not the best. Sometimes we have cancer. Sometimes we have cancer scares. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives are not the best. Sometimes we have problems with our heart. Sometimes we have problems with our kidneys. Sometimes we have problems with our kids or our parents. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives are not the best. In fact, sometimes the circumstances of our lives can be downright bad. But the Bible teaches us, matter of fact, the Bible insists that we include thankfulness in every part of life. Whether good or bad, we should always look for something to be thankful for. Dr. Dale Robbins wrote, I used to think that people complain because they have a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have problems because they complain. The King James Bible translates Psalm 77:3. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 tell us, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So I'll pause there for a moment because I want to talk to you about that idea of shining. Do you shine in your community? Your community, that's the people that you hang out with through the week. I know there's some variance in those people. I know some of those people are very positive, some of them are very negative. But I want to ask you that regardless of whether it's a positive person or a negative person in your life, do you shine? Do you shine in a way that's going to bring them up a notch? Or do you quickly enter into their level of thought? Oh, I can't believe what Donald Trump's doing at the border. I know, he is such a louse. Is that where you go? Or do you raise up? A lot of times, you know, we can let our light shine as long as everybody around us is agreeing with us. My challenge to you is to let your light shine in a crooked and twisted generation. Because that's where we're called to shine. We're called to shine at the school. You know, the Supreme Court says that we're not supposed to bring our religion to school. That's the Supreme Court. Well, that's okay. The problem with the Supreme Court is they should be called the not quite Supreme Court. Because there is an authority that's over them, who is God. You say, well, you gotta follow the rules where you're at. You don't want to be a person that's in rebellion. Right. You don't want to be a person that's in rebellion. But you know what you do want to do? You want to be honest and forthright, and you want to speak about the glories of God everywhere you go and in everything that you do. And if you're in a public place, if you're down at a meeting in a courthouse, talking to the county commissioner, and they actually do something that you think is a good idea, you're going to praise God. When they're doing something that's a bad idea, you know what you're going to do? You're going to thank God. You know why? Because every time they take a left, yeah, that's left to you. So every time they take a left, you know what they're eventually going to do? They're going to make a right. Because three lefts make a right. There we go. So you're going to thank God. You have to let your light shine in this world to see that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. People with bad attitudes seldom do good deeds. People who frequently complain usually have bad attitudes. But when we are thankful and positive, then our light shines brightly when God is glorified. And the side benefit of that is we feel happier. Here's a little exercise, and you can try it on your own next time you're feeling sad and depressed, like life is going in the toilet. Go get, put the mirror up in front of you and go in there and give a big smile. Brooklyn always tells me, good. Just smile. Because you know what? After you do it, you're going to feel better. Your body can't help but fall on your face. I don't know why that is. But if you just smile. And when you need to smile, not when things are good, when things are bad, that's when you need to smile. When things are good, you should smile. When things are bad, you need to smile. So smile. The doctor tells you, you know what? You've got a problem and you're going to die from it. I'm going to go see Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go see my grandparents. My dad. I'm going to go see lots of people. You say, well, what if they didn't make it? I'll never know it. Because I'll be in heaven. Heaven is the place where all things are. So smart. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, many people question, what is God's will for my life? You know, one thing is for sure. It is God's will that we would give thanks in all circumstances. Agree? Everyone has a story about how rough it is, how rough life can be. I gotta tell you what it was like when I was a kid. When I was a kid, we were so poor, we had to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken to lick other people's fingers. When I was a kid, we were so poor that when someone asked to use the bathroom, we would start by saying, out the back door, down the trail. When I was a kid, we were so poor that we couldn't afford bath towels, so Mom would hang us on the clothesline by our ears till we were dry. When I was a kid, we were so poor that where we lived, the rainbows were in black and white. When I was a kid, we were so poor that some people saw us kicking a can down the street and asked what we were doing, and we said, moving. Okay, maybe none of that was true, but tell you a true story. My grandparents were from the hills in North Carolina. Now you think, if you don't know what a Tar Heel is, I mean a real Tar Heel, let me just say you would equate that to being a hillbilly, like Little Abner Hillbilly. Okay? If you don't know who Little Abner is, you're not very well read. So look, Google that. My grandparents were from the hills of North Carolina. My grandmother said that on October 1st, they would, on May 1st, they took all their shoes and placed them in a sack and tied that sack shut. And then they were barefoot all summer until October 1st. Then they took the sack and they put their shoes inside. Am I telling this right? I'm not. See, I've confused myself. I had notes and I fixed my notes and my notes are wrong. My grandmother said that on October 1st, they took all their shoes and they placed them in a sack and tied the sack shut and put it up in the rafters of the house. That's in October. On May 1st, regardless of the weather, May 1st, because they looked forward to it, on May 1st, they took all their shoes and they put them in a sack and they tied their shoes. No, on October 1st, they put all their shoes in a sack and tied it shut.
No.
Somebody needs to fix my notes. On October 1st, they put their shoes in a sack. On May 1st, they dumped the sack out and they started from the oldest to the youngest. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
They started from the oldest to the youngest.
Trouble is, you're following your notes.
We're just glad to see you have shoes on.
May 1st, all the kids put the shoes in the bag.
Yeah.
Took the bag and put it up in the rafters.
Right.
And all of a sudden along, the kids ran around barefoot. And they loved it. Come winter time, October 1st to be exact, they got sacked down out of the rafters. And starting with the oldest child, they would pick a pair of shoes out of the bag that would fit. And then they would go through the progression of the child down to the youngest. Each child looking for a pair that fit. They would find that pair and they would wear them all year, all winter long. And then, come spring, May 1st, they put the shoes back in. You know what my grandma was always so grateful for? She was so grateful to have shoes. Because the people who went the winter without shoes, they were the poor people. That's a funny thing to be thankful for, isn't it? One pair of shoes. Never had a new pair of shoes until she was a grown adult. But she wasn't considered poor because they weren't considered poor because they had shoes to wear and wear. My brother once went over and asked my grandfather what it was like living through the Great Depression. Pa, that's what we call my grandfather, we call him Pa. And I remember that he said, you know, we heard about that depression and how it affected the people up north. But for us, we were poor before it started, we were poor during it, and we were poor after it. So it didn't matter much to us. Thankful. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. If it's good, it's from God. If it's not good, we're still thankful for it. Because every gift, God can make good and will make good. Now, we talk about gifts, and Christmas is coming up around the corner, isn't it? Consumer Reports says that store return rates are estimated to reach 8.7% of sales. Experts expect that $260 billion worth of goods will be returned to stores this year. And 47.1 billion of those returns are stemming from holiday sales. An estimated 10% of all Christmas gifts are returned. Here are five things that are the five most returned things in descending order. Okay? Number five. The fifth most frequently returned thing, shoes. Struck me as interesting, and I wondered what my granny would think of that. Shoes being returned. Number four, inappropriate spouse gifts. That vacuum cleaner you buy your wife. Might want to rethink that before Christmas. Number three, clothing. Well, we can all get that. Might not fit, all cut, whatever. Then there's number two, which is age-inappropriate gifts. Like that box of choking hazards that your aunt's buying your two-year-old. Probably want to take that back. The SpongeBob pajamas that, you know, you bought for your 12-year-old. Might not work. The skinny jeans that you picked out for your husband. Those are probably going back to. But the number one reason that people give for returning something to the store is that they just don't want it. But you know, God has a different desire for us than stuff. He does not want us to get sucked into materialism this holiday season. He wants us to live free. He wants us to take the steps that we need to take to find the freedom, the spiritual freedom. That we would not live in excess, but that we would live in gratitude. I want to give you a challenge this year. I've given this challenge before, but I want to do it again. That for the remainder of 2018, whenever somebody asks you, how are you? Instead of saying fine, I want to encourage you to say grateful. So people say, how are you? Fine. No. How are you? Grateful. I'm not asking you to change forever, though it would probably be a good idea if we did. How are you? Grateful. Can you do that through the holiday season? How are you? Grateful. You need to think that through. Say it to yourself multiple times. How are you? Grateful. Grateful. Why? Why am I grateful? Well, I'm grateful because I'm trying to shine a light. I'm trying to make a difference. You see, I could just say fine. I love it. You know, so I see somebody, how are you doing? Oh, doing fine. My husband and I are divorced now. I've been to the doctor, found out I have cancer. My kids have rebelled, and they've abandoned me, and I've lost my job, I'm financially broken, destitute. Fine. Because that's how we answer that question. So I want to put another thought in your brain that you're not fine, but you are grateful. And when people say, what are you grateful for? Tell them, I'm grateful for all the good things. And they say, when they say, how are you? And you say, fine. And they just say, why? Why are you grateful? Just tell them, because it's a great way to be. See, instead of thinking about how little we have and how shallow we can be with each other, think about how grateful you really are. Count it up and lay it out and give thanks. In Los Angeles, there was a parking citation that a guy found on a sidewalk. He took and he put $5 with it and he mailed it in and paid the parking ticket for the guy, whoever he was, that got the ticket. He had a note attached to the ticket that says, I found this on the sidewalk, not knowing if the car owner had ever seen it, and I would like to make the remittance for him in gratitude for all the occasions that I have parked over the allotted time and not received a ticket. See, that's gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. The story is told of a woman living many years ago on a farm in Germany. She brought her minister $10. As she laid down the money, she said, in former years, I have had to pay this amount in medicine. This year, there has been no sickness in our family. I want to show my gratitude to the Lord by giving him the money. Later on, that same woman came again. She came to the minister with $5, explaining that many of her neighbors had suffered loss in a recent windstorm, but her farm had been spared. I bring this to the church as a donation. It is an offering of thanks because we were spared. You see, that is gratitude in all things. Excuse me, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Steve Shepherd is the pastor of a Christian church in Jonesboro, Arkansas. I read this is a little excerpt from an article that he wrote. He said this, I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I am thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have plenty to eat. I am thankful for the shadow that watches me work because it means I'm outside in the sunshine. I am thankful for the lawn that needs mowing, the windows that need wash, the gutters that need cleaning because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for the parking spot that I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I am capable of walking. I am thankful for the huge heating bill because it means I am warm. I am thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have the freedom of speech. I am thankful for the lady behind me in church who sings off key because it means that I can hear. I am thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. I am thankful for the alarm that goes off early in the morning hours because it means that I am alive, or for the dachshund that barks. I am thankful for the weariness and the aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I have been productive. You see, that's gratitude. Amen. Another story is told of a young man, a brand new college degree, and he is a full-fledged certified public accountant. He goes to visit his father, and his father, who's been an immigrant to the United States, and now he owned his own little business. But filled with self-importance, the young man began to criticize his father's way of bookkeeping. He said, "Dad, you don't even know how much profit you've made. Over here in this drawer, there are accounts receivable. Over there in that drawer, there are receipts. And you keep all your money in the cash register. You don't have any idea how much money you've made." His father answered, "Son, when I came to this country, the only thing I owned was a pair of pants. Now, your brother is a doctor, your sister is a teacher, and you are a CPA. Your mother and I own our home, and we have a car and our own little business. Now add all that up, subtract the pair of pants, and the rest is profit." That's gratitude. Mm-hmm. Psalm 145, verse 6 says, "They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, when we add it all up, that's exactly what we need to do this Thanksgiving. Add it all up and give thanks. Somebody said, "I came into this world wet, cold, hungry, owing nothing, and I still have most of it." Add it all up. We came into this world with nothing but the eternal soul that God gave us. Everything else is profit. Everything else is something to be grateful for. We can never give too much thanks to God. The God of the universe sought to redeem every man, every woman, and every child to himself. And he did that through the death of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he provided for our sin. If you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have shown a prophet. And that alone is more than any of us deserve. And that alone is enough to make us grateful this holiday season. Every day here. As you approach Thanksgiving this week, I want to challenge you to approach with a brand new, fresh mind and heart. Grateful for the things that you have. Wholly focused on the goodness that God has given to you. And I guarantee, you can get today's tithes back if this isn't true. When you give to the first of the year, if you spent this last 5 weeks of the year being grateful, and you get to the end of the year and you don't look at your life and say, "You know what? Life is good." If you spend these 5 weeks being grateful and you get there, you can come back to the church. We'll give you your money back. How's that? I guarantee you. Guarantee. If you can spend 5 weeks being grateful, and then you assess those 5 weeks, you're going to want to spend the next 5 weeks grateful. If you can spend 10 weeks grateful, you're going to spend the rest of your life grateful. And the doctor's going to tell you, "You know what? I think you've got cancer." And you're going to say, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because I have an opportunity to. So let my light shine in the darkness, that other people are going to see my good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven, and that they are going to come to faith." You're going to hear bad news and you're going to say, "I am not afraid. I am thankful." But you know what? If you're complaining about the worship, If you're complaining about how the harvest dinner went down, if you're complaining about how the Christmas party's come, the Christmas play is going to happen, if you're complaining about the Christmas tree and the God put decorate, you're complaining about all that stuff, none of it's going to work out. Is that true? Because when you start thinking down here, you start living down here. If you want to live up here, you got to think up here. The only thing that's stopping you from living and thinking up here is that little voice in your head that says life is so miserable. You know whose voice that is? That's the devil's voice. He's got no place in your ear or your head. Let him go.
Amen.
God has a message for you. A message of life and hope. A lesson of future. Let your light shine. And what you're going to find is that your light is not a light at all. You're just a reflection of His light. And so you will never run short on energy. Your electric bill will never increase. You are God's child. Please stand. So, the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up. You're willing to let your light shine like His light shines, bringing hope and encouragement to every circumstance and every situation. If you're willing to humble yourself like that, willing to let your light shine, you will find that your life is so good, so filled with peace and loveliness, that all people will want to be around you. Your marriage will be happy. Your kids will be pleased with you. Your parents will be satisfied. Your brothers and sisters and neighbors and co-workers will all be amazed. What an awesome and incredible individual you are. And you will be able to say, it is not me, but God who works through me. And the world will be changed and a better place because you have lived and submitted to Him. Father, help us to walk in your ways. Help us to never forget, Lord, the good that you have done. Help us, Lord, to not be distracted by what we don't have. But help us, Lord, to celebrate and to do well with what we do. And in that, Lord, you will be glorified. And all those around us will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.